We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Mahomes has the time, delivers perfectly downfield, touchdown, Patrick Mahomes with a rope.
This one, Adams, touchdown!
This time going deep for Beckham Jr.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to RotoViz Overtime on RotoViz Radio, brought to you by the Action Network and Blue Wire. My name's Colm Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland, joined once again by Sean Siegel. Sean, a really enjoyable show earlier this week, coming out on Tuesday. For any of the listeners that haven't heard it, I would highly recommend going back and checking it out. We talked through the first round in Superflex formats and looking at some of the quarterbacks in particular in that there and some interesting takeaways in it. On today's show, we're going to look a little bit about the second round of the piece we talked about between yourself and Sam Wallace, looking through those opening two rounds. And then later in the show, we're going to do some listener questions as well to finish things off. Sean, I mentioned it to you behind the scenes, and for anyone following along on Twitter, they've probably seen myself and Dave Caban and Curtis Patrick debating some recording equipment over the last couple of weeks, but made the leap this week. Dave said he was going to, if it was the last thing he did, he was going to make sure that I made the move and bought a new piece of podcasting equipment that we're going to use, and looking forward to seeing how the guys implement it into their recordings. But myself and Sean, hopefully over the next couple of weeks, we'll be implementing it into ours as well. So it should be fun. Lots of behind the scenes stuff going on for, I mentioned on the show earlier this week, draft content, and of course we'll have all the off-season content coming up as well. So it's going to be a fun off-season here at RotoViz Radio, and looking forward to bringing all that content to the listeners. So Sean, some people tend to tail off as we get to this stage of the year, but the plan is to keep that content rolling throughout the off-season.
Yeah, and I think this is the most exciting time of the year. I mean, we have the NFL playoffs going on as we move to the AFC, the NFC Championship game, and then the Super Bowl. A lot of enthusiasm for that. But as the regular season wraps up, as the real season, the reality season wraps up, we get into the situation where now we enter some of the most fun time periods for fantasy football. We have the draft content, we have the prospect content, we have the rookie draft content, and with that comes dynasty content of all stripes. And we're looking this week at some Superflex dynasty startup information. If you don't play Superflex, all you have to do is strip the quarterbacks out. The information for the rest of the players works very well for you there. But Superflex gives you a chance to create a league that is a little bit more balanced for the owners. I think that's the way to play it, because if we're in a normal format here, then the owners who get to start with a Christian McCaffrey, with an Alvin Kamara, they have this huge advantage. At the same time, in Superflex, we were discussing on the show last week, or last Tuesday, that they dropped to 6th and 7th overall. And Colm, you didn't think they should even go at that point. to have quarterbacks in play and to have that balance out your first couple of rounds really creates a much deeper environment for owners, and it adds a lot more to the tactics, right? You have a lot more different ways that you can structure your team. We like to focus on that. We think there are a lot of exploitable opportunities with team structure, and that's one of the things that we're going to be talking about in this Dynasty Superflex Startup Draft that I'm participating in with Sam Wallace. It's a fun exercise where we each have six teams, we're alternating picks, and we're not just drafting the best guys, we're also trying to make sure that we have a good team. Now, most of the time, you want the best player available. That's even more true in Dynasty than it is in your regular formats. But we have to make sure that we have the positions covered. We have to make sure that we're going into 2021, even though this is a fake draft, with teams that have a thesis for either competing or being ready to compete very shortly. And I think that makes it more fun than just putting out these Dynasty rankings. So Sam Wallace, a great follow on Twitter if you're not already doing that. He's one of our young star writers. We're having a lot of fun with the things that he's doing. And it's been a blast for me to draft against Sam here. So we're going to look at round two today. And I had the second pick in the first round. As that wraps back around, that means that I have the 112, the 201, the first pick in round two. I finished round one by picking Joe Burrow. And Russell Wilson, the big-time quarterback who is still available. At the turn here, you could go Burrow-Wilson. I decided to go with Jonathan Taylor, who has been kind of the guy that we promoted all of last season, looked at him as being a generational-type talent. He scored a 100 in the running back prospect lab. He had a good start to the season there with Marlon Mack unfortunately going down, went through a little bit of a lull in the middle, but then exploded down the stretch, including that 250-yard, two-touchdown game to finish off the regular season. Colm, I decided to go running back here to balance out the positions a little bit and to take the young guy, even though he's not going to last maybe as long as Russell Wilson does, even though Wilson is much, much older. The thing that Sam points out here when he does pick Wilson with the next pick and says that after he took Barkley with the 111, he figured either Burrow or Wilson would make it back to him and that he preferred Wilson. He points out here something that I have from my recent piece where Wilson's 4.0 passing fantasy points over expectation per game trails only Patrick Mahomes when we look at this last 6 year time period. But then he also points out, pulling up the Game Splits app, that weeks 1 through 9, 32 points per game for Russell Wilson. The rest of the season, only 19 points per game. That's a little bit of a concern. I think that Wilson is too good to sit down at that 19 point per game range. Obviously, we're going to expect him to bounce back to an extent, but the whispers, and they're not really whispers, I mean, they're shouting this at the top of their lungs. The rhetoric coming out of Seattle is that they want to try and figure out a way to run the ball even more. There are ways in which this can work out for Russell Wilson, you know, with the play action passing, with the defense, you know, focusing on the run, with him getting back to these deep throws. One of the things that I talked about as well is that over that second half of the season, not only was he passing a little bit less, but his passes weren't nearly as deep. The defenses were figuring out how to take away Tyler Lockett, to take away DK Metcalf on those long bombs that he's so famous for. I think that that's going to all work out in 2021. But for anyone who is a Russell Wilson owner who saw how the first half of the season went, for them to come out and say, look, you know, we think we've got to go back to a less efficient way of playing, as opposed to, okay, we need to make sure that we are staying ahead of the defenses, that we're, as a coaching staff, able to adjust to what the defense is doing and to keep being able to attack, to keep doing the things that we do well, that we're not just going to capitulate and let the defense take that away. For them to not say that, to instead say, okay, well, we're going to run the ball into the line, even though, you know, we don't have this kind of offensive line that can create, you know, Derrick Henry-sized holes, you know, for me, that was kind of the tiebreaker that let me take the guy I sort of wanted to take anyway in Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, and I agree with you. You know, my concern, I've mentioned this loads of times with Seattle, has always been that they'll revert to what we kind of expected them to be over the last couple of seasons. It tends to fall back into that same situation, you know, every season. The turnaround from the first kind of 8 games to the last 8 games this season was startling. And I think what we've kind of seen is there is a ceiling, obviously. Like, we see, you know, Josh Allen, we talked about those first round players, like say the likes of Josh Allen, Kyler Murray, who are hitting potential 40-point and above games on a kind of semi-consistent basis. And we see the upside for those guys. We see Wilson, even in those first 8 games this season, he was averaging 32.19 points per game. And the real top end, I think, is going to be capped a little bit for him. And unless the Seahawks are playing like this great game of reverse psychology, or they're trying to fool everybody by coming out with an extreme passing game next season. But I just think that, plus the age category, those other guys that we're talking about on the show on Tuesday are clearly the options to go for. And I think Jonathan Taylor is the right choice to go for there. When we look at this route in particular, there's a lot of exciting players, both at wide receiver and running back, going to be mentioned on today's show. But when we look at the way the season started, I don't know if I've ever seen a rookie running back kind of go from halfway through the season, like, seeming like it just wasn't going to work for him in the NFL, to at the end of the season just tearing the league apart. Like, we talked about him, Sean, all last offseason. The dream would have been for him to land with the Kansas City Chiefs. That didn't happen. You mentioned the Marlon Mack injury. Mack probably not going to be back next season for the Colts. We'll see what happens there. Probably going to be a quarterback change, which might see them lean a little bit more on the running back. But when we look at what he did, like, it was really from week 11 on that he got thrust into the action. Week 10 was probably the low point, with 7 carries for 12 yards against the Titans. After that, then things really ramped up from basically starting against the Packers with the 22 carries. Now, he didn't really blow things out of the water there, but it was his high point at that stage outside of week 2 in carries. But as it went on, then we seen him creep closer to the 100-yard marker on a consistent basis, 150 yards then, and 2 touchdowns in week 14, followed by 83 yards, a touchdown, 74 yards, and 2 touchdowns. And then, obviously, you mentioned that game, 253 yards and 2 touchdowns. The playoffs, obviously, they fell short against the Buffalo Bills, but still 78 yards and a touchdown from there. So things really did pick up dramatically down the stretch for him. And looking heading into this season, you know, I didn't want to say it on the show earlier this week, but I would be tempted to be slotting him in there ahead of some of those running back options outside of Christian McCaffrey, you know, heading into the season. We talked about how high we were on him last offseason, maybe how the season started has tempered our expectations, but there's still so much upside to be found with Jonathan Taylor moving forward. So excited to see what he does. But I think that's a very fair spot to be taking him there. And particularly if you're in Superflex, you could possibly get, you know, a Joe Burrow at the 112 and then move on to Jonathan Taylor. Start with a really young core for your dynasty team. Next up, Sean, Justin Jefferson, who, as rookie campaigns go, we've talked about him a couple of times. I don't know if we really need to talk about him in today's show, but he was just phenomenal. You know, so much upside there as well from him. Tyreek Hill next at 204, and then Stephon Diggs at 205, and our guy AJ Brown at 206. So it's going to be a little bit of trying to decipher here in terms of where those guys are going. I'm pretty sure you're going to be happy to get pretty much any of them on your roster. I would probably be going with, as we talked about on the previous show, Jefferson, then Brown, then probably Diggs, and then Hill. What was your thought process in your picks in this scenario?
Yeah, with the 203, I wanted to get Jefferson there. His rookie season, simply too good to ignore. To give a little bit of a plug for one of our recent pieces, Blair Andrews, many listeners know him as the author of The Wrong Read. It's a series of analytics pieces that he does for the site. I think it's the best series on the internet. I, however, am biased. But if you haven't read his most recent piece, it's awesome, right? And it discusses how you go about doing prospect analysis, not just in terms of the things that are important, but some of the theory behind it. Blair was all over Justin Jefferson last season, wrote about how Jefferson was the one guy who checked all the boxes. His newest wrong read discusses, you know, why that is important and how we can find the next Justin Jefferson. So if you didn't have Jefferson, or if you did and you want to have the next one and you're thinking, okay, I don't have a top two or three pick in this year's rookie draft, but maybe there's a guy out there anyway who can a year from now be someone I would have wanted to take with the 101, then I recommend checking that piece out on the site. Anything that Blair does is well worth the read, but you'll want to read this one about Jefferson and how we go through the process of getting to where, you know, he is the guy. In terms of these picks, Sam had Hill with the 204. He says he likes him as the dynasty wide receiver one. It's very hard to argue with there. Hill's raw numbers are great. His peripherals are very good. You know, he's set there with Patrick Mahomes. The 205, I picked Diggs. We discussed on the show last week, we had this debate about the top four or five dynasty wide receivers. That for me is a coin flip between Diggs and AJ Brown. I went Diggs in this draft. Colm, before we go to the break, you made a sort of a provocative statement in the last section there and said that you might consider Taylor above even some of the first round guys. Throw out a bold prediction for us. Just to recap, we had Dalvin Cook going at 109, Saquon Barkley going at 111. Which one of those guys are you taking Taylor over?
I think I would take him over Barkley, certainly. My rankings, if I was doing, I have a lot of concerns over what's going to happen with the Saints and Alvin Kamara. We've seen how as a usage.
So you're going to go even higher for me on this. You're going to take Jonathan Taylor as the running back two.
Yeah, I would have strong suggestions of putting him at the running back two heading into this season. I just think the upside's so high. I think like this season for Alvin Kamara, it's going to be hard to beat those 21 total touchdowns that he had. He had 1,700 scrimmage yards. You know, I have huge concerns around the quarterback change if Breeze does go, whether that's Winston or whether it's Taysom Hill. We'll see what happens. But I think it's probably going to be a reach for most people, but I think based on like where we would have had him, he had started the season and just been consistent throughout rather than blowing things out of the water in the second half, I think we wouldn't have as many doubts. And I think based on his age, we would have pushed him up higher. So that's why I would certainly be putting him ahead of Saquon coming off the injury. I think that, you know, based on his age and based on the other guys' age in terms of like Dalvin Cook, I think like those guys had high watermark seasons this year. And I think that it's going to be hard for them to repeat that back to back. Listen, folks, the Super Bowl is coming up and sure, we'll all be watching the game. But the best way to celebrate the biggest day in football is to bet on the game. And we want to let you know about a great resource for sports bettors. It is the Action Network. The Action Network is where sports fans go to bet smarter and to experience real financial gains. In fact, their Action Network app was recently named the best app in sports betting. And the Action Network Pro subscription, you can unlock the very best of the app. When you sign up for the Action Network Pro subscription, you can access the Pro Report, which includes expert projections for every game across all professional leagues.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You can see money and bet percentages on every game, so you can see the teams professional gamblers are betting on. You can take advantage of pro systems, which match winning historical betting trends with the latest games and lines, and you can track every bet you make and get alerts in real time. So if you're looking to bet smarter, an Action Network Pro subscription is the best way to get started. And as a limited time, our listeners receive a 50% discount off an annual Pro subscription. Just go to actionnetwork.com now and receive 50% off an annual subscription when you use the code ROTOVIZ. This offer won't last long, so go to actionnetwork.com to sign up for a Pro subscription and use the promo code ROTOVIZ to receive 50% off and start betting smarter today.
Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball players strike out with the bases loaded. The best golfers sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you come up short in the bedroom sometimes, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go to GetRoman.com/RotoViz now. With Roman, you get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A U.S.-licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication's appropriate, it ships to you free with two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/RotoViz and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/RotoViz now to get $15 off your first month. Look, there's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. GetRoman.com/RotoViz. Get started now to save $15 on your first month of treatment.
So, Sean, we move in. I know there's a lot of players that we've talked about on recent shows, so maybe the listeners want to hear more about those guys, but maybe we'll bypass them for some of the guys we haven't touched on as much. And when we go through the next couple of wide receivers here on the list, we have CeeDee Lamb, we have DK Metcalf at the 208, we have T. Higgins at the 209, Devonta Adams at the 210, Brandon Ayuk at the 211, and then George Kittle writing things up at the tight end position then at 212. I think when we look through it, like, I don't know if I can say much more about Ayuk and Higgins from what, like, Ayuk just as somebody who I'm unbelievably impressed by as an actual NFL player, and as what his production was then heading over to fantasy. But I think CeeDee Lamb is the guy on this list who, if we didn't have the injury to Dak Prescott and we kind of hyped up the receiving core, we talked about Dak Prescott's position on this list earlier in the week, CeeDee Lamb, I think he would be going dramatically higher if Dak Prescott hadn't got injured this year. I think there's just so much upside heading into the rookie campaign. It was basically him or Jerry Jeudy. The situation looked better for Lamb in terms of his landing spot. And, he proved how productive he could be in those early weeks. And he had his glimpses then throughout the season. But would you agree that if Prescott remained healthy for the season, we'd probably be looking at Lamb, five or six spots higher on this list?
Perhaps. I don't know how much higher he can realistically go. Now, he did go five slots after Justin Jefferson in this big wide receiver run that we're having. But, does he go above Brown? Probably. Does he go above Diggs and Hill? It gets a little bit more difficult there, although I'm sure still there are plenty of people, even after this amazing Antonio Brown-like season, who are Stephon Diggs skeptics. But Lamb, the other guy, when we're looking at Justin Jefferson, week by week, we were sort of keeping you updated on where he stood relative to history. Lamb, until we got fairly late, was in that same sort of trajectory. His beginning of the season with Prescott was so strong that even after they had the quarterback difficulties there, he was hanging on for a while. One of the things that was a big encouragement, I think, is that there were concerns that he would get squeezed out by having Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup in that same receiving core. And Cooper played well early. Gallup had the big game late. We know that those guys really can be weapons and big-time stars in their own right, especially Cooper. And yet, Lamb immediately was able to carve out his targets and his target share there. So I think as you make that next step, you've got to be very excited about him. I know in terms of trade discussions with Davis Maddock that he thinks that he is the next DeAndre Hopkins. So if you're getting that kind of player at this age, then you know, again, you have this foundation piece. And in this offense particularly, you could see them being in shootouts week after week after week and needing to chase those huge, huge scores. Lamb came in to the NFL, I think, as the clear-cut top prospect. Now, you know, we just discussed how Justin Jefferson checked all the boxes. But with Lamb, you had a guy who was number one in terms of Travis May's adjusted production index, something that looks at both yards per team attempt and market share to kind of combine those two metrics, which are sort of the two areas that people have found to be very predictive in terms of how a receiver can beat draft position. And Lamb already being drafted there in that first round range. He's the guy, even though he doesn't have sort of the AJ Brown or DK Metcalf type of physique where he's this Julio Jones overpowering type of player. Again, more in that Devontae Adams, DeAndre Hopkins type of range. And those two guys have demonstrated how extraordinary wide receivers like that can be. And so I like Lamb here. We had discussed again and debated where Metcalf went and had him a little bit higher a week ago, but Lamb is a guy where I think there's almost no risk and a ton of upside when you're looking at someone who has so many things in their favor. Now, if the Dallas offense runs into some trouble, we know that they have maybe some organizational things going on that are not perfect there as well. There is that potential for Prescott to run into some setbacks in his recovery. If those things happen, then maybe you're looking at 2021 as also being a little bit of a lost season. And so if you have that rookie campaign where the second half of his rookie season, he wasn't that playable. If you have a frustrating year two and you contrast him to some of these other guys like a Jefferson, like a Higgins, like an Ayuk, you know, maybe there's some disappointment there compared to what you thought maybe you were going to get. But I think the long term here, you're looking at someone who Lamb and Jefferson are likely to be the guy who, you know, 5 years from now, we're talking about being in the middle of the first round. And if anything, you could still make some arguments that Lamb is a little bit safer in terms of being up there.
Yeah, and I think the one thing I would say, and we've kind of been touching on it kind of a little bit, but not directly on recent shows, is this rookie class in terms of what they've done and the second year class have just been phenomenal. Like, there's a real influx of wide receiver youth in terms of like the likes of Jefferson, AJ Brown, CD Lamb, DK Metcalf, T Higgins, you know, Ayuk, all making this list. And there's guys then that aren't even going to be talked about in today's show that are just so talented, and those opening kind of three or four rounds are so much different wide receiver talent to get. And I think that's where, when we link it in with what we talked about on the show on Tuesday, is if you get one of those kind of first five picks and get that core quarterback position piece, and then, like, similar to what we'll be looking into our RB and our season long drafts, you know, you can start to plug in those young and even some of the veteran wide receivers to really fill that team out and give yourself a real strong core. The other part, Sean, you kind of mentioned it there as well, like, Lamb wasn't one of the players we really touched on the recent shows when we were ranking some of those young players, but I think that the one thing I think suppressing his value is the upside was capped based on the quarterback injury to Dak Prescott. So I think we could see real big things there. And similar, T Higgins is on the list at the 2.09. you know, his season, while it still continued to be impressive after the Burrow injury, it wasn't, you know, able to continue at the same pace. So interesting there. Any of the other players, Sean, as we get ready to answer the listener questions, that you want to mention through the back half of that second round?
I think that this was a fun second round and an interesting second round. We know that with eight quarterbacks going in round one, and with the four, sort of the big four at running back going in round one, well, that left wide receivers completely boxed out of that initial stanza. And for RotoViz listeners especially, it was probably disappointing to see Sam and me go through this exercise where we didn't take a wide receiver in round one. But round two really bounces back. We have Taylor and Wilson start round two, but then we had nine consecutive wide receivers. And for me personally, I don't think there was really any, even a possible option at running back that wouldn't have been a reach. And yes, I think that tactically there is maybe a potential for quarterbacks to go in there. We actually went a long, long stretch then through round three where there were no quarterbacks. And so this is really the time period and the area where you become what you want to be as a roster by making sure that you get those wide receivers. So round three, also very wide receiver heavy, and the tight ends starting to go in there. This is how I would want the draft to set up if we're going to build that foundation and we're going to have the structure that we need in order to have a dynasty, to not be packing in too many players from positions early where you're going to see that big decrease in trade value. So this is what I like to see. I really liked what Sam did. It was interesting, I think, to see him take Hill, to see him take Devontae Adams. Those are guys we really like. I think, Colin, they're players that you're even a little bit higher on than I am. Did you have any comments on the order of Higgins, Adams, and Ayuk? You mentioned that you love Ayuk there, but Devontae Adams is your Green Bay Packers guy. Would you have been tempted to take him ahead of Higgins, maybe take him ahead of Metcalf?
This is where the conversation gets into, like, right now versus 2 years down the line, depending on roster construction. And for me personally, I like to try and go for a league from the start. So if I was in a startup now, I like to have kind of a blend of the veterans and the rookies. But Adams is at that age now where it probably is, I hope it's longer, but probably maximum two more years with Rodgers and Green Bay. And that would lead to question marks then around the quarterback play that he is going to be with. Although I think Adams probably is maybe almost quarterback proof. But I think Ayuk's question mark is around who is the quarterback in San Francisco and what happens there. I think just what he's showing and his ability as a runner and basically yards after the catch, running the ball and receiving and contested catches, I think there's huge upside between him and T. Higgins. It will be pretty close. I've really liked Higgins and what he showed, but I just think there's more facets to Ayuk's game in terms of the rushing ability as well to add in there, so I probably would flip those two guys around. But again, like you mentioned earlier, with the decision between like Diggs and Brown, they are coin flips. Depending on if I had drafted T. Higgins in a couple of leagues, I could be tempted then just to balance it out with Ayuk and vice versa. So there's a lot of kind of other factors will go in there. But I think any of these guys in this round are of huge interest. And the one thing, Sean, that you mentioned is the way that obviously the draft went, and some of the readers or the listeners might have been a little bit disappointed there wasn't any wide receivers in that first round. But what I would say is if you're drafting in a startup with other players, there's a very high chance that you're going to see in this second round a number of running backs pop up in there. Like, there's only one running back in here and it's Jonathan Taylor. And that's going to mean that some of these guys can be falling into that third round for you. So if you're in a draft where hopefully there's some of those running backs going in that second round, pushing these guys down to you in round three, there's a possibility that you mightn't even have to choose between one or the other. You might end up with both on the roster. So that would be the dream situation for me. I'm assuming, Sean, that's the dream situation for you as well.
Yeah, and if you could end up with the sort of the overall top couple of picks, if you're in that area, to get a Patrick Mahomes, to get a Kyler Murray, and then can come back around and get Higgins and Ayuk wrapping into rounds two and three, that would definitely be the dream scenario. Colin, we have some questions here about both startup drafts and rookie drafts. What are the listeners looking for, and how does this relate to the exercise that we just did?
Yeah, so it fitted in perfectly. We always look for those questions, and sometimes I'm better than others at looking for a tweet to get those questions. Sometimes the questions come in off the back of the show. So as always, you can send those questions in. We try to fit them into the topics as best we can. And Pietoro had a question in terms of an upcoming rookie draft for his 16-team Dynasty League. A bit different to our league here that we're talking about, but it's a one quarterback league, 6 points per passing touchdown. He was saying, how early do we think Lawrence and Fields should be taken in that? So the tricky part in this is obviously we're talking here about Superflex, and then we're going back to just standard format. So when we're looking at a rookie draft, Sean, and standard, where do you prioritize the quarterback position? Is it something that drops them down dramatically? Usually you'll see the top end quarterbacks go maybe spot four, spot five, and then towards the back of the first round for the rest. Where in those startups, if you're in Superflex, they're probably going to go in that first, second, third range, depending on the other talent available. Obviously last year was a little bit different with Jonathan Taylor and Edwards-Helaire there as well.
This is such a tricky question when you get to 16 team, because it is going to depend quite a bit on the quarterback situation for those teams who are in the first five or six picks. 16 team is going to be quite a bit different than 12 team, because you do very quickly then get into a situation where you can very easily not have quarterbacks. I'm in a pretty cool 14 team league right now with Devi, where, you know, if you get locked out of the quarterback position, you're going to have to pay a lot in a trade. And anytime that you end up having to chase these quarterback points, these quarterback situations, then your overall roster takes a hit. And in a situation now where we have so much potential for quarterback turnover in those players in the, say, 15 to 32 range, we have a lot of teams who could get who could have a different quarterback and could have a quarterback situation that we really can't project right now. I think there are going to be a lot of people who are hurt by this. It's going to also tie in with the next question that we have. And so I want to kind of bring this up right now, this really cool article that Dave Caban has put up for the site about how the quarterback position is changing, and this is what you need to do to exploit it in Dynasty. 2020, the highest scoring year for quarterbacks in league history. You have the highest quarterback one scoring from rushing points, but you also have the highest quarterback one scoring from the passing perspective. So you have the passing numbers jumping to an all-time high. You have the rushing numbers jumping to an all-time high from this quarterback one tier. And that means you're getting a bigger gap from these top guys to the rest of the field. So one of the cool stats that Dave has in here, he goes through from 2012 to 2020 and looks at the difference in scoring from QB 1 through 6 versus QB 13 through 18, right? And the gap in 2020 was 7.9 points. So essentially an 8-point gap between these top six guys and what you would look at as your options if you get outside the QB 1 tier completely. So QB 13 to 18. It's the biggest gap that we've had. There was a big gap in 2012, but then through the rest of that time period, the gap was more or less 4 or 5 points. When we jump up to 8 points, we're talking about the difference between, say, that top running back tier and guys we're less interested in, like, you know, a Josh Jacobs and those types of players. And so when you think about the gap in those terms, it allows you to really understand just how desperate it is to get those top QBs. So I'm going to assume that one of the problems with making this assumption is that the teams that end up with the top 4 or 5 picks, they may have a variety of issues. They may, even if they have the quarterback situation taken care of, they are really hurting running back, wide receiver. That's why I think you have to look at those guys. The question here also relates to where an owner might need to target to get players like Waddle and Moore. You know, is it safe to go for the 106, 107 instead of the 104, 105? I'm not sure that we're quite there yet to being able to tell, but I think I would look for the guys a little bit later. The 104, 105, though, if you can get them for a trade that you're comfortable with, I mean, those are going to be very, very valuable picks. So I don't think that you can go wrong there. I do think that at least one of the two quarterbacks in a 16-team league is going to go fairly high. If it were a 12-team league, we'd probably still be looking at these guys as turn types of quarterbacks. No, we don't have the turn in rookie drafts, but guys at the end of round one, beginning of round two types of players. In a 16-team league, I think they're going to float up a little bit, push them down. So I think you can probably be a little bit more conservative in terms of who you're looking for in that trade. But it's an interesting discussion, and I think it lends itself back to this Superflex discussion where, Colm, our next question comes from.
Yeah, Nathan Coleman had in the question. He's in a 24-team copy Superflex tight end premium best ball dynasty startup. So a lot of different factors to focus into this one as well, but sounds like a lot of fun overall. I don't know, Sean, I assume you've played in a couple of different copy leagues and you're involved in them. I find them a lot of fun, but keeping track, I guess this one's a bit easier in terms of best ball, but keeping track of who owns which player. Played in a few Scott Fish's contests with, you know, 4 to 5 copies, and can get quite confusing as to who has which copy of which player.
Yeah, I haven't, but I've played in some formats that are fairly close, and it certainly seems like a lot of fun. I think that the quarterback thirst, as he terms that it is going to be there. I think it's going to be a more likely trend for those reasons that Dave articulated. You see those eight quarterbacks come off the board in round one of our exercise here. Russell Wilson coming off the board very shortly after that. And then there's a huge gap down to the next guy. And so what I see happening and what I think will happen is that everyone is going to understand that if you want to have a foundation piece, you're going to have to take that guy this year in round one, and then maybe you're going to wait for a long time. The tricky part is that one of the ways in which some savvy Superflex owners have gotten a pretty good advantage over the last several years is actually to be able to start quarterback, and then maybe you have to be a little bit patient in year one because your running back and wide receiver positions are not quite as strong. But once you have that foundation and you can build through it, you see the really experienced Superflex drafters start to really gap the field when you get into year three, year four. You're looking at their roster and thinking, well, how do they have all of those guys? Well, they started with good quarterbacks, and then they were free to build the rest of the team out. They didn't consistently year after year have to chase quarterback production. It seems like you're taking taking the cheap way out originally seems like you're saving a lot of money or saving a lot in terms of your draft picks and what you have to spend. But as you continue to churn those guys, the savings goes into just this bucket with a hole in the bottom of it. And it turns out not to be savings at all once you get a little bit deeper. It'll be interesting to see how the real sort of quarterback acquirers I deal with the trend this year, because I do think that almost all of the guys you want are going to go in round one.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. And I think the biggest change is going to be, he asks kind of how, you know, we can take advantage of that. I think the advantage is to get one of those guys in the first round that we kind of talked about on the show earlier this week. And then the advantage is to not chase after that. So if you take somebody at spot four, you know, let's say you take Josh Allen at four or five, the key is then when it comes back around in the second round, hopefully there's going to be some of that wide receiver talent, for example, pushed down to you at that spot, and people have probably overreached to have 10 quarterbacks go in that first round. So it might give you an opportunity then to, you know, to strengthen those other positions and have the advantage there. And I think Sean's point is excellent in terms of, you might think that waiting on one of those lower cost quarterbacks is the way to go in year one, but you know, there is it's a freeing experience, Sean, when you're in a draft, a rookie draft, and you have two or three really high-end quarterbacks. And if you want, then you can, you know, make that call. Like with Josh Allen, for example, his rookie season, there wasn't a huge amount of people excited about him. And like there was some drafts then that I had quarterbacks and I didn't really need to go for quarterback, but he was just falling so far, you were able to pick him up and then have him on those rosters. And that happened in quite a few leagues. And similar this year with Jalen Hurts, you know, wasn't big excitement around him. And sometimes it's like, you know, that thing, the rich keep getting richer, where you don't have to overforce your hand to try and pick up those talented, you know, rookie picks, or, you know, diving and trying year after year to use your first round rookie pick on a quarterback in a league like that. So it can really set you up for the long-term success. So a very, very good point made there by Sean. I would highly recommend putting a lot of thought into that if you're in any rookie drafts or startup drafts this season. Sean mentioned as well, Dave's piece is up on the website. Very, very good kind of companion piece to the two rounds that we talked about, particularly the round that we talked about on Tuesday's show. We'll obviously be coming back to you next week, but Sean, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't end the show with our NFC and AFC conference picks for the Super Bowl come a couple of weeks down the line. And I'm going to have to go with the hometown decision. I would much rather play Drew Brees in the cold than Tom Brady, but I think that the Packers should have enough to edge out the Buccaneers. I think there's going to be some revenge served up this week in Green Bay, and we'll see what happens with Patrick Mahomes. Hopefully all things will be good for him to play come Sunday. I think that they'll just about edge the Bills. I think the key is just the amount of weapons that the Chiefs have, and obviously home field advantage as well. So I think the overtime dream Super Bowl comes to fruition. What's your picks this coming week? It worked for me well last week when you picked the Rams against the Packers. So are you supporting the Bucs this week?
Well, I just said that the Rams were going to give them some trouble and definitely not come through and win that game. You were right on the Bucs versus the Saints, so I got that one incorrect, and the Bucs did get their revenge. I agree. I think that you're going to see the Packers do the same thing, get their revenge on the Buccaneers, the one game this season where they really did get hammered. I think they turned that around. Aaron Rodgers is not the MVP for me. I'm going to pick Patrick Mahomes again for that. But there's no question that Aaron Rodgers has been absolutely spectacular. And if anything, his performance against that Rams defense this last week was maybe the most impressive game of the season. He is in complete command of that offense. I think they'll move up and down the field. They'll use those peripheral receivers. They'll use all of those running backs and score a huge number of points on the Buccaneers. I think they win that one very convincingly. The shootout game and perhaps the most fun game that we're going to see this season will be the AFC Championship. I expect the Chiefs to come through as they have so many times in the last couple of years. We're recording this on a Tuesday. We don't have great information on whether or not Patrick Mahomes will play. We hope for his sake that he's healthy enough to do that, and that makes that game the shootout and the spectacle that it deserves to be. I'm also picking the Chiefs-Packers Super Bowl. And beyond that, what we're really hoping for is that these games live up to a lot of what we saw getting to this point. Now, we had some weather games last week that weren't necessarily quite as fun, but Chiefs-Bills, Packers-Buccaneers, this should be the best week of the season. And I hope that these games live up to the billing. I expect those four quarterbacks to come through with the types of performances that we don't get every year.
Yeah, so let's hope for some good games, and let's hope the listeners also enjoy watching in as well. As always, you can get yourself a 10% discount to a RotoViz NFL pass right now by adding the code RVRadio2021 at checkout. By going to rotoviz.com/podcast, we highlighted a number of different tools, a number of different articles and so on the two shows this week, and of course you get full access to all of those content and tools when you sign up for a 1-year subscription. And as always, we like to get that written and review. If you can drop that on your favorite podcast app, it will be much appreciated. Get those questions in as well for next week's show. You can send them to me at Overtime Ireland, or you can send them to rotovizradio@gmail.com. And with all that said and done, we'll be back next Tuesday with another show, and until then, have a good one. Thank you for listening to Overtime on RotoViz Radio. Please rate and review the RotoViz Radio podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. You can contact us via email at rotovizradio@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at RotoViz Radio. And remember, you can always support the pod by subscribing to RotoViz with a discount through the RotoViz Radio homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.